वंदे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानंद सहोदर गौरोदये पुष्पगंध चित्र संद I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who have risen like the sun and the moon simultaneously on the horizon of Gaudadesh. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, there is a beautiful narration by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, describing the glorious qualities and activity of his Param Guru, Srila Madhavendra Puri. We have been especially asked to speak on this particular subject this evening in reference to the very auspicious event that is about to come before us on the 19th of October. This is the night of Govardhan Puja, or the day of Govardhan Puja. And on this auspicious day, at the temple of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, will be the installation of Sri Sri Gauranithai and Sri Gopal, who is now worshipped in Natwar as Sri Nakti. The origin of the Gopal deity, who was the lifter of Govardhan Hill, is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This took place during his travel to Jagannath Puri. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order of life, living as a sannyasi, he decided that the best place to go was Vrindavan. But by the loving persuasions of his mother, he was convinced to make his residence in Sri Puri Dham instead. So he, as well as Lord Nityananda, Mukunda, Jagadananda, they were traveling by foot from Navadvip Dham to Puri Dham. On the way, they came to a very, very sacred place of pilgrimage. It is a place of the name Remuna. Remuna is famous because that is the place of the residence of the famous form of the Lord of the name Gopinath. This Gopinath deity has a beautiful story behind it. It is explained that when Lord Sri Ramchandra and Sita and Lakshman were living in the forest, exiled from the kingdom of Ayodhya, for some time they were living in this holy place of Remuna. And it was there that Mother Sita approached Sri Ramchandra and made a very humble and loving request that in your future avatar, I want to see what will be your form, and I want to worship that form. So of course, the Supreme Lord, Hari, is always most anxious to give pleasure to his supreme most loving consort, the goddess of fortune, Sita. So he said, yes, it will be my pleasure. So he went to a river nearby, and there he found a very large black stone. It is said to be a Shalagram Shila. And he took his own arrow from his quiver and he began to carve the form of the divine personality of Sri Krishna, standing with his threefold bending form playing upon his flute. And he told Sita that this is the form of Gopinath. And in this divine form, I will advent in Vrindavan Dham. And here I will be the Lord of the Gopis. So while living in Raimuna, Mother Sita worshipped this beautiful murti of Gopinath with great love and devotion. But then it was time that they move on to another place. And of course, this murti was very heavy. And so the local Brahmins, who became very, very pure devotees of Sitaram, they requested that kindly allow us, if you must leave, to worship this beautiful form of Gopinath. So with the blessings of Mother Sita and Lord Sri Ramchandra, the Brahmins of Raimuna began the puja for the Gopinath Murti. And that Murti has been worshipped in Raimuna from the time of Lord Sri Ramchandra, which is a very long time back. In Hindi, I think you, what is it, Prachin? It is a Prachin Mandir. It is very old. People were asking if I learned any Hindi in Pune. So, something I have learned. Someday, with God's grace, I will give lecture in Hindi and Mahaprabhu will translate it into English. With your permission. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this holy place, he was very happy. He began to dance before the form of Gopinath with great joy, great jubilation. And then they all sat down as an offering was being made to Sri Gopinathji. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great pleasure, he began to speak. He said that the name of this deity has now become Kheer Chor Gopinath. Gopinath who has stolen the kheer. And to understand why he is considered a thief, we must hear the divine pastimes of that most exalted of all Vaishnavas, Srila Madhavendra Puri. There is no greater pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead than glorifying his devotee. The Lord has so many divine plans on how to glorify his devotee. The glory of the devotees is their super excellent faith and devotion in the Lord. And from time to time throughout history, we see that the Lord, Sri Krishna, he makes so many very unique and special arrangements to glorify each of his very, very exalted pure servants. Just like Prahlad Maharaj. Why was Prahlad put through so much persecution by Hiranyakashipu? Krishna is in the heart of Hiranyakashipu. Krishna is the source of every heartbeat of Hiranyakashipu. He is the source of every breath. He is the cause of all causes. If Krishna desired, he could have killed this demon within a second. Why did he allow so much terrible persecution against this innocent 5-year-old child, Prahlad? Because if he did not, who would have ever heard of Prahlad today? If Hiranyakashipu was a nice father and said, "Yes, Prahlad, if you want to be a Hare Krishna, if it makes you happy, it makes me happy." If he was that type of father, would we be talking about Prahlad today? Or if as soon as he turned against Prahlad, if Krishna just ended his life, would anyone hear about him today? The more he was tested, the more he was tortured, the more he was persecuted, the more glorious his pastimes became. In the end, Lord Nrsimhadev appeared. But this whole Leela was simply so that the Lord could experience the great pleasure of glorifying his devotee. And we find this the case amongst all the very, very great souls. They are put through very difficult tests often to be glorified. And others, they are put in other very unique situations. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about to narrate one such beautiful circumstance. Madhavendra Puri was the guru of the guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was his param guru. It is described that he was traveling to all the holy places of Bharatvarsha, always absorbed in divine love of Krishna. And alas, he came to the most sacred of all holy places, Vrindavan Dham. And after going to all the 12 forests of Vrindavan, he settled for some time at the beautiful feet of Sri Giriraj, Govardhan Hill. One day he was at the Govinda Kund, and there he was sitting, chanting the holy names of the Lord, and immersed in divine remembrance of the beautiful pastimes of the Lord. Srila Madhavendra Puri, his unique form of devotion was he was always immersed in the divine feelings of separation from Sri Krishna. So as he was sitting on the banks of Govinda Kund one day, a very beautiful young cowherd boy approached him. "Ah, my dear Swamiji, I have been told that you have been fasting throughout the day. In this village, no one must fast. Some people in the renounced order of life, they beg for food. But you are so humble, you are not even willing to beg. So for you, I have personally come to deliver this fresh milk." Madhavendra Puri asked, "How did you know that I was fasting through the day?" And the young boy, he said that the local girls, village girls, they had seen you all day here without having any prasad, so they have informed me. So now you kindly enjoy this meal." And then the boy left. So Madhavendra Puri drank the sweet milk from the cows of Vrindavan Dham. And then, after washing the pot and washing his hands, he sat under a tree and began to chant the holy names of Sri Krishna. And he began to fall into a very restful state. And then in a dream, that same young boy appeared to him. And he said, "Madhavendra Puri," he said, "I have been laying under the ground for a long, long time. He said that in this form my name is Gopal. I was originally installed by the great grandson of Sri Krishna of the name Vajranabh. And I was installed on the top of Govardhan Hill. And there I had been worshipped for thousands of years. But on one occasion, the Muslim rulers sent their soldiers to destroy the temples of Vrindavan. So at that time, the pujari buried me in the bushes, in the ground. And then he had to flee. So I have been here in the scorching heat, without any water, without any food, for a long, long time. And all of this while, I have simply been waiting for my pure devotee, Madhavendra Puri, to come to serve me. So then this cowherd boy, who was none other than Gopal himself, took Madhavendra Puri by the hand and showed him exactly where he would have to cut through the forests and dig through the ground. And then the boy disappeared. First he told him that I want you to install me on the top of Govardhan Hill, and I want you to bathe me with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of buckets of cool water from Govinda Kund. And I want you to prepare a wonderful feast in honor of the divine Anakut ceremony of Sri Krishna at the time of the original Govardhan Puja, when Krishna curbed the pride of Indra by lifting the Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand. So shortly after that, Madhavendra Puri woke from his dream. At first he felt very ashamed. What has been done? That Krishna appeared and gave me milk, and I did not even recognize him. I offered him no respect, no obeisance, and he began to cry in shame. But then he fixed his mind on the order of Krishna. This is a very important example. Sometimes devotees, out of their natural humility, realize their very, very fallen and sinful condition. In fact, those pure devotees who are perfectly sinless, more than anyone, feel that they are in a most sinful and fallen condition. A great devotee never thinks he is advanced. A great devotee can be judged by his humility. Madhavendra Puri began to cry. Just see, what a neophyte devotee I am. That Krishna was standing right before me and I did not even recognize him. But then he understood that whether I am advanced or not advanced, what is the difference? My life is only for the service of Govinda. He has given me an instruction. I must fulfill it. A devotee's life and soul is to fulfill the instruction of the spiritual master in Krishna. He is not concerned, I am advanced, I am not advanced. I am happy, I am distressed. I'm a success, I'm a failure. I'm famous, I'm infamous. All these things are put aside. All he is concerned with, a sincere devotee, is I must execute the order of Guru and Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri immediately gathered together many villagers. And with choppers, they began to chop through the very high bushes and creepers that were all around. And thus, in the midst of all of that, they found the beautiful murti of Gopal, who was standing in his divine pose with his left hand raised as the lifter of Govardhan Hill, Govardhanadhari. And they put a big rock, big stone on the top of Govardhan Hill. and they placed Gopal atop that stone. And then they had many, many pots, buckets, and with thousands and thousands and thousands of buckets of water, they were bathing Gopal. It is described by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in very great detail exactly how this elaborate ceremony was performed. Should we read? And this way we can get a nice idea of what is expected of all of us on the installation of Gopal. The deity covered with dirt and grass, they were all struck with wonder and pleasure. After they cleansed the body of the deity, some of them said, "The deity is very heavy, no one person can move him." Since the deity was very heavy, some of the stronger men assembled to carry him to the top of Govardhan Hill. Madhavendra Puri also went there. A big stone was made into a throne, and the deity was installed upon it. Another big stone was placed behind the deity for support. All the Brahmin priests of the village gathered together with 9 water pots, and water from Govinda Kund Lake was brought there and filtered. When the deity was being installed, 900 pots of water were brought from Govinda Kund. There were musical sounds of bugles and drums and the singing of women. During the festival at the installation ceremony, some people sang and some danced. So we all have to dance. All the milk, yogurt, and clarified butter in the village was brought to the festival. Our goal should be, of course we have to try for it, that all the milk, yogurt, and clarified butter of Bombay should be brought for the festival. Various foods and sweetmeats, as well as all other kinds of presentations, were brought there. I am unable to describe all these. The villagers brought a large quantity of tulsi leaves, flowers, and various kinds of garments. Then Sri Madhavendra Puri personally began the Abhishek bathing ceremony. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is stated that the deity should be bathed in water mixed with yogurt and milk, accompanied by the sounds of conch shells, bells, and other instruments, and the chanting of the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, as well as the chanting of the Brahma Samhita verses beginning Chintamani Prakara Sadma Sukalpa Vriksha Lakshavrate Susurabhir Abhipalayantam. After all inauspicious things were driven away by the chanting of the mantra, the deity's bathing ceremony started. First, the deity was massaged with a large quantity of oil so that his body became very glossy. After the first bathing, further bathings were conducted with Panchagavya and then with Panchamrita. Then the Mahasnan was performed with ghee and water, which had been brought in 100 pots. The ingredients of Panchagavya are milk, yogurt, ghee, cow urine, and cow dung. All these items come from the cow. Therefore, we can just imagine how important the cow is, since its urine and stool are required for bathing the deity. The Panchamrita consists of 5 kinds of nectar, yogurt, milk, ghee, honey, and sugar. The major portion of this preparation also comes from the cow. To make it more palatable, sugar and honey are added. Of course, we know that Madhavendra Puri, he was the inspiring force behind this Abhishek, but it was the tremendous enthusiasm of all of the congregation of devotees in Vrindavan that made this festival something wonderful. Because everyone was so anxious to contribute. Everyone was so anxious to bring something. So Vrindavan Maharaj has so kindly promised that he would bring the necessary ingredients of cow dung and cow urine from his sacred cows at Vaikuntha Dham in Belgaum. That was the first commitment that we received. After the Mahasnan was finished, the deity was again massaged with scented oil and his body made glossy. Then the last bathing ceremony was performed with scented water kept within a conch shell. In his commentary on this occasion, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, "Barley powder, wheat powder, vermilion powder, or dal powder, and another powder preparation called avata, mixing banana flour and ground rice, are applied to the deity's body with a brush made from the hair at the end of a cow's tail. While in Belgium, we have manufactured one brush made from a cow's tail, especially for this ceremony. This produces a nice finish. The oil smeared over the body of the deity should be scented. To perform the Mahasnan, at least 2.5 mounds, about 24 gallons of water, are needed to pour over the body of the deity. After the body of the deity was cleansed, he was dressed very nicely with new garments. Then sandalwood pulp, tulsi garlands, and other fragrant garlands were placed upon the body of the deity. After the bathing ceremony was finished, incense and lamps were burned, and all kinds of food offered before the Lord. These foods included yogurt, milk, and as many sweetmeats as were received. The deity was first offered many varieties of food, then scented drinking water in new pots, and then water for washing the mouth. Finally, pan mixed with a variety of spices were offered. After the last offering of tambula and pan, bhog arti was performed. Finally, everyone offered various prayers and then obeisances, falling flat before the deity in full surrender. As soon as the people of the village had understood that the deity was going to be installed, they had brought their entire stocks of rice, dal, and wheat flour. They brought such large quantities that the entire surface of the top of the hill was filled. When the villagers brought their entire stock of rice, dal, and flour, the potters of the village brought all kinds of cooking pots, and in the morning the cooking began. 10 Brahmins cooked the food grains, and 5 Brahmins cooked both dry and liquid vegetables. The vegetable preparations were made from various kinds of spinach, roots, and fruits collected from the forest, and someone had made vada and badi by mashing dal. In this way the Brahmins prepared all kinds of food. 5 to 7 men had prepared a huge quantity of chapatis, which were sufficiently covered with ghee, as were all the vegetables, rice, and dal. All the cooked rice was stacked on palasa leaves, which were on new cloths spread over the ground. Around the stack of cooked rice were stacks of chapatis, and all the vegetables and liquid vegetable preparations were placed in different pots and put around them. Pots of yogurt, milk, buttermilk, and shikharani, sweet rice, cream, and salad cream were placed alongside the vegetables. Report. In this kind of ceremony, which is called anakuta, cooked rice is stacked like a small mountain for prasad distribution. In this way, the anakuta ceremony was performed, and Madhavendra Puri Goswami personally offered everything to Gopal. Many water pots were filled with scented water for drinking, and Lord Sri Gopal, who had been hungry for many days, ate everything offered to him. Many days. Our Gopal has been standing without any food since Janmashtami. Huh? You cannot see him, but he's right behind the curtain on the altar. So he's very hungry. And it is everyone's responsibility to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Sri Gopal ate everything offered, still by the touch of his transcendental hand, everything remained as before. Report, the atheist cannot understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing in the form of the deity can eat all the food offered by his devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati taraham bhakti pahritam ashname prayatatmana. Krishna is perfect and complete, and everything he does is perfect and complete. Because the Lord is Purna, he can expand himself into hundreds of millions of forms, and yet he still remains the same original personality of Godhead. When Narada Muni went to Dwarka, he was very much astounded, because he was visiting the various palaces of the 16,108 palaces of Sri Krishna. And in each one, Lord Sri Krishna was engaged in a different activity. Narada Muni began to think that the greatest mystic yogis, they can expand themselves into eight forms. But each of the eight forms must act identical to all the others. When one lifts its arm, all eight lifts the same arm. When one lifts its walks forward, all eight must walk forward. But here there were 16,108 manifestations, each engaged in unique activities. Therefore, Krishna is Yogeshwara. He is the supreme master of all mystic potencies. He is the supreme yogi, because he is perfect and complete. So similarly, by Krishna's divine arrangement, at the time of the original Anakut ceremony, when the residents of Vrindavan offered mountains and mountains and mountains of prasad on the order of Sri Gopal to Govardhan Hill, at that time, Sri Giriraj Govardhan manifested himself in a huge, huge form, and he ate all the mountains and mountains and mountains and mountains of prasad. And after eating it all, he began to call out, Aniyor, 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 which means, I want more. Krishna is unlimited. If we eat a little too much prasad, do we say Aniyor, Aniyor? We say Churna, Churna, Churna. give me something for my digestion. But after Krishna ate tons and tons and tons, mountains of prasad, the entire stack of all the food in Brajadham was cooked for this one feast, and he ate it all within a second. And he was crying out, more, more. And then after completing, within a second later, all the prasad was back as it was previously. And then Krishna said, now you enjoy it. I have had. So in the same way, Gopal, he had accepted through his vision, through his ears, through his every sense, Rama Samhita explains, he can accept our offerings. He tastes the sweetness of the bhakti, which is within the offering. Of course, in this way, he also ate the food and tasted the bhakti. It is not that he is simply tasting the bhakti, but he is not tasting the food, because there is no difference. The food becomes surcharged with bhakti, and he finds his satisfaction by actually eating the preparation. But his perfect and complete nature is he eats it and fully enjoys it, and yet it remains as it is, as prasad, his mercy upon us. How Gopal ate everything while the food remained the same was transcendentally perceived by Madhavendra Puri Goswami. Nothing remains a secret to the devotees of the Lord. The wonderful festival and installation of Sri Gopalji was arranged in one day. One day. And we are giving all of you 3 weeks. How much is that? 2 weeks. Certainly all this was accomplished by the potency of Gopal. No one but a devotee can understand this. Madhavendra Puri offered water to Gopal for washing his mouth, and he gave him betel nuts to chew. Then, while arti was performed, all the people chanted Jaya, Jaya. Arranging for the Lord's rest, Sri Madhavendra Puri brought a new cot, and over this he spread a new bedspread, and thus made the bed ready. A temporary temple was constructed by covering the bed all around with a straw mattress. Thus there was a bed and a straw mattress to cover it. After the Lord was laid down to rest in the bed, Madhavendra Puri gathered all the Brahmins who had prepared the prasad and said to them, "Now feed everyone sumptuously from the children on up to the aged." All the people gathered there and sat down to honor the prasad, and by they took food. All the Brahmins and their wives were fed first. Not only did the people of Govardhan village take prasad, but also those who came from the other villages. They also saw the deity of Gopal and were offered prasad to eat. Seeing the influence of Madhavendra Puri, all the people gathered there were struck with wonder. They saw that the Anukut ceremony, which had been performed before during the time of Krishna, was now taking place again by the mercy of Srila Madhavendra Puri. All the Brahmins present on that occasion were initiated by Madhavendra Puri into the Vaishnava cult, and Madhavendra Puri engaged them in different types of service. And then it is described that after this wonderful ceremony, the inhabitants of various villages all around Govardhan were coming, one after another, saying, we want to sponsor the same festival for Gopal. So Madhavendra Puri gave each one a date. And every day, for months and months and months, the villages brought their entire stocks of all food and got all of their Brahmins to cook mountains and mountains and mountains of prasad for Gopal. So hopefully the people of Tana and what are some of the other Kar, what? Vasai, Pune, all these villages around Bombay, everyone will come together and offer this wonderful service to Gopal. This is very important opportunity for us to become enthused and enlivened in devotional service. Actually, these wonderful festivals are the Lord's great mercy upon us, because they give us an opportunity to really feel the spirit of bhakti. The spirit of bhakti is to celebrate the glories of the Lord at every moment of our life. Devotional service is a life of celebration. At every moment, we're celebrating the glory and the mercy of the Lord by chanting His name, by offering whatever we do for His glorification. And of course, when we come together with this enthusiasm, that is the greatest, greatest benediction upon us, that the Lord is giving us the opportunity. If we do not take advantage of the opportunity, we are simply cheating ourselves of the mercy that God is giving us. Huh? Therefore, these festivals are very important. Because Krishna consciousness is not simply a dry intellectual movement. Krishna consciousness is a life which is full of varieties of expressions which are deeply rooted in an enthusiastic desire to please and glorify the Lord. That is why in the Vaishnava calendar there are so many festival days. These festival days are meant for our purification. Because devotees must come together regularly with incredible, immense enthusiasm and vitality to make a beautiful, beautiful atmosphere to celebrate the particular event that is taking place for the pleasure of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that when you have temples, Rupa Goswami explains that you must observe the various festivals in the glorification of Sri Krishna. And of course, our observing of these festivals is not simply ritualistic. It is not that we simply come together and watch someone do the puja and think that, yes, now I have become sanctified, I can go home. It is not like that. It is a chance for each and every devotee, according to his particular propensity and according to one's particular consciousness, to just completely dovetail his propensities in such a way to make the festival a wonderful festival for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like at New Vrindavan, Govardhan Puja, usually for 1 or 2 weeks before the actual day, devotees are cooking. If you have a full-time service, what the devotees would do, and nobody was ordered to do it, it's all spontaneous. This is how it's been for years. If you have to work construction all day long, when you come back at night, you'll stay up all night, or 2-3 hours extra a night, just cooking, just starting to prepare your mountains. This atmosphere where devotees are making sacrifices to make the Lord's festival something wonderful, it's that enthusiasm that brings life. It surcharges everyone. Like a launching pad for a rocket. It just takes the enthusiasm of all the devotees, just catapults everyone's consciousness toward Krishna. Because Krishna consciousness means enthusiasm. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that if you are not enthusiastic, you cannot render devotional service. You are a dead man. Our service is based on this principle of enthusiasm. And of course, the greatest service that we can offer to the other devotees is to enthuse them. To enthuse them to surrender more and more, to sacrifice more and more. Anyone who preaches against surrender, anyone who preaches, who warns someone not to increase your sacrifice, they are living completely contrary to the principle of bhakti. They are doing the greatest disservice. Our duties to one another is somehow or other, because it's so difficult to sacrifice, it's so difficult to be enthused in this day age of Kali Yuga for God consciousness. By our enthusiasm, we have to enthuse others to sacrifice more and more and more and more and more for the pleasure of God. To give more and more and more of your time, your energy, your everything for the pleasure of God. Actually, this should be an everyday affair. But by the Lord's mercy, at least on festivals, we should all come together to create a very, very joyous atmosphere, full of life. Nothing that pleases Guru more than when he sees enthusiasm in our service. So what if you do not feel enthusiastic? You be enthusiastic for Krishna. Right? We're not concerned with what you feel. We're concerned with who you are. Enthusiasm is a sacrifice. If you don't feel enthusiastic, you act enthusiastic. And if you act enthusiastic, Krishna will see you want enthusiasm. And what is the result? He will make you the most enthusiastic devotee. It's like our Ashok, he's in the stock market, right? And Sridhar. So this is the principle. Enthusiasm generates enthusiasm. It's not that you wait for enthusiasm. If you want to wait for enthusiasm, then you will wait and wait and wait and wait. Wake me up when I'm enthusiastic. You're asleep, birth after birth after birth. Yes, 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 I will wake up for Mangal Arati. Samsarada. Someday I will be enthusiastic. Huh? That is what we are like, awaiting. It is not like that. You have to be enthusiastic. You have to be enthusiastic under all circumstances. And that enthusiasm is like spiritual electricity. It just generates light. And of course, that's really the benediction of these festivals. And that is one of the great requirements of temples. Because enthusiasm is contagious. It's like a few weeks ago, Anjali had chicken pox, right? And because of her chicken pox, Priyavrat got chicken pox, right? In this way, contagious. Enthusiasm is also like chicken pox. If you are enthusiastic and I come in contact with you, I will become enthusiastic. So it is your first and foremost duty to be enthusiastic and to enthuse others. Enthuse others to work harder. Enthuse others to put their hearts in their service. There's no greater service you can render than that. And to enthuse, you must be enthused. You must be enthusiastic. Huh? This is the great sacrifice. Because this is what gives our spiritual life meaning. How much we are willing to put into it. Not just put into it, but really put into it. If you're going to cook, you should put your heart and soul into cooking, and you should cook and cook like you've never cooked before because it's for Krishna. And if you've never cooked before, then you already know what it's like to cook like you've never cooked before. Right? You've heard the saying, cook like you've never cooked before? So someone asked me, well, I've never cooked before. So I said, well, it's natural for you to cook like you've never cooked before. So don't use that as an excuse. You're actually in a higher platform than the rest of us. Right? So this is the beauty of Madhavendra Puri's glorious ceremony for the installation of Sri Gopal. Is those who took part in this ceremony, they did not even consider whether they would eat tomorrow. They were so enthusiastic to please Gopal that the entire stock of all food in the whole village was cooked for one feast. They did not even consider, what about tomorrow? Huh? That is enthusiasm. You might say, this is impractical, this is fanaticism. But, in that sense, the Brijbasis are fanatics. Huh? And if you want to be a Brijbasi, you have to become fanatic like this. It doesn't mean a sectarian fanatic, it means just everything is for Krishna. Now. Huh? So after this wonderful service that Srila Madhavendra Puri offered along with the Brijbasis to Sri Gopal, gradually people were so happy to have Gopal in their presence that they built a beautiful, beautiful temple for him right on top of Govardhan Hill in very short time. And they started bringing beautiful, wonderful clothes and beautiful, wonderful crowns and jewelry and all paraphernalia. Madhavendra Puri did not even have to ask anyone. It just came spontaneously by the love of the devotees. And then after this, Madhavendra Puri initiated some Brahmins who came from Bengal, and he put them in charge of the puja. And then Gopal appeared again in a dream to Madhavendra Puri. He said, "Madhavendra Puriji, you have done very nice service, but I am still very, very hot. Even the thousands and thousands and thousands of buckets of water from Govinda Kund have not sufficiently cooled me. I require sandalwood mixed with camphor from the Malayan hills." Of course, the Malayan hills is over 1,000 miles away from Vrindavan. It is all the way in Orissa. So Madhavendra Puri, he was not thinking, what kind of a crazy instruction is this? Sometimes when Guru Dev tells us to do something that just isn't according to what we think we should be doing at that time, we think, what kind of crazy instruction is this? But Madhavendra Puri was thinking, Krishna wants sandalwood. Now, he had no money. He was a mendicant. You know how costly huge amounts of sandalwood and camphor are? Even in those days, it was being controlled by the government. Madhavendra Puri, he just left, started walking. And on the way, he came to Remuna. And there, he had darshan of the beautiful murti of Gopinath. And when he saw Gopinath, he began to dance in great happiness before him and chant the holy names of the Lord. And he was told that there is a very special preparation of rice cooked with milk and sugar. And it is cooked in a very, very unique and very, very delicious manner. And it is offered, I believe it was 12 pots every day at that time to Gopinath. So the pujari came with the various clay pots of this kheer and put it on the altar and closed the doors for the Lord's bhoga. And Madhavendra Puri began to think, it is such a special preparation. Perhaps after the Lord finishes, I can taste just a small bit, and then I can get some understanding of how it is made, and when I go back to Vrindavan, I will make a similar preparation for Gopal. This is the consciousness of a great devotee. Everywhere he is, he's only thinking of how he could best serve his deity of Krishna. In every situation, whatever comes before him in life, he's simply thinking, how can I best serve my Krishna? Just like Srila Prabhupada in regard to his building of this temple for Radha Ras Bihariji in Bombay. I remember in 74, he was at New Vrindavan, and he was staying at one little grey house, very simple but nice grey house. And he was constantly thinking how to get this land for Radha Ras Bihariji. And even though he was giving lectures and he was guiding so many devotees, he was constantly writing letters, sending telegrams. He was immersed in the thought that I must have this temple for Radha Ras Bihariji. And when he was at New Vrindavan, not only was he immersed in this thought of Radha Ras Bihari's pleasure, but he was also, everything he would look at, he would see how it could be used for the service of Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Every tree, he would say, ah, you could take these branches and make toothbrushes for Radha Vrindavan Chandra. You could take these leaves and do this for Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Everywhere he would look, he was just thinking how to best serve Radha Vrindavan Chandra. This is Krishna consciousness. The greatest enemy is selfishness. Everyone is so selfish. Everyone is so self-centered in this world. Everyone is thinking, me, I'm in anxiety. How can anyone tolerate the fact that I'm in anxiety? Right? I'm sick. How can the world go on if I'm sick? Huh? How is it that the sun is in the sky? Because I do not feel good. Huh? Or I lost so much money. We think that it's the end of the world. We're all so much concerned with ourselves. It's so difficult to overcome this selfishness. But this is the process. You have to be constantly thinking in every situation that what opportunity is there right now for me to serve Guru, Vaishnav and Krishna? Huh? The best way to serve Krishna is to serve his devotees. But the devotees are always wanting to serve Krishna also. This is why we have the deity in the temple. Some people say, why do you need a deity in the temple? Krishna is everywhere. Because it has a focus that here is a form of Krishna. And you can give your life to rendering beautiful services to that Lord. And everywhere you go, you could be thinking, what can I do? When you see a flower on the side of the road, you think, ah, how nice this flower would be for Radha Vrindavan Chandra, for Radha Gopinath. You see some jewelry, you think, oh, wouldn't I look nice with this nice necklace? That's our nature, is it not? But when you're Krishna conscious, you will think, oh, just imagine if Gopinath was wearing this nice necklace. So Madhavendra Puri, when he was sitting in Remuna, over 1,000 miles from Vrindavan, when he heard that there was nice sweet rice being offered to Gopinath, he was not thinking, oh my God, it's been such a long journey, now I can enjoy some nice sweet rice. I've walked 1,000 miles. I haven't had any nice prasad in weeks, now I can enjoy nice sweet rice. No. He didn't even consider himself. He was simply thinking, nice sweet rice, how can we offer it to Gopal? Wherever he was in the world, he was thinking, what can we do for Gopal? This is the quality of a sincere devotee. So, then he became very embarrassed. He started to think that Gopinath is still taking the sweet rice. And I'm thinking of tasting it while he's still eating. He considered himself so fallen and so sinful that he just chanted the holy names of the Lord to try to purify himself, and then he just very quietly left. And he went into the marketplace and went into a quiet place and to try to purify his consciousness from what he considered to be a very sinful thought. He started to chant the holy names of the Lord. Meanwhile, the pujari went on the altar, took off all the kheer and the clay pots, and put the form of Sri Gopinath to rest for the afternoon. And then he himself went to take rest. And Gopinath appeared to the pujari in a dream. And he said, ah, my very dear devotee Madhavendra Puri, I have stolen one pot of kheer and I have kept it hidden on my side. I want you to come immediately and I want you to find Madhavendra Puri and deliver to him this kheer. He is my pure devotee. So the pujari was struck with wonder.
So he rose from his bed, he took his bath, he put on his clean clothes, he went on the altar, and behind the cloth he found hidden one pot of kheer. And he was struck with wonder. And he went out into the marketplace and he began to call out in a loud voice, "Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri, whoever you are, please come. Gopinath has stolen one pot of kheer just for you." And he was going to every corner and every area of the town, of the village of Remuna. And all the people of the town, they were in great curiosity as well as great awe and reverence. Who is this Madhavendra Puri? It was the talk of the town. Gopinath has become a thief and stolen sweet rice just for him. And alas, Madhavendra Puri heard his name being called. And when he came forward, the pujari and him met. They were both exalted Vaishnavas, pure devotees of the Lord. When they met, when they saw one another, tears of love came to their eyes. And then the pujari explained the very special divine mercy that Gopinath was offering to his devotee. And when Madhavendra Puri heard this, he was overwhelmed. How myself, so unfortunate, so fallen, so sinful, the Lord is so kind, infinitely kind, that he is showing this special mercy to me. Any mercy that comes upon a devotee, if you are actually a real devotee, you will never think that you deserve it. You will consider that this is causeless. If you deserved it, it would not be mercy. Right? Mercy means something you do not deserve, but you're getting it anyway for your benefit. If you deserved it, it would simply be business. Right? I've paid the price. If you go to a store and you pay the price for an object, and the owner of the store says, "Okay, here, you have bought this loaf of bread. Here is the loaf of bread." You say, "Oh, thank you for your mercy." Huh? No, you just say, "Oh, thank you. It's not mercy. I paid for it." But if he comes and you don't pay anything and he says, "Here, take this. I love you." Then it's mercy. So whatever comes in the life of a great devotee, he understands that this is the Lord's mercy upon me. I do not deserve it. Whether it's happiness or distress, pleasure or pain, success, failure, honor or dishonor, a devotee considers that this is all for my purification. I do not deserve it. I'm grateful. It is his mercy upon me. Huh? So Madhavendra Puri was overwhelmed with love to see the Lord's causeless mercy. And he took that sweet rice and he drank it as he was crying in transcendental ecstasy. And then he took that pot and he broke it in little pieces and wrapped it with a cloth. And every day he would eat one little particle of that clay pot. And as he was doing it, he would be immersed in the remembrance of the causeless mercy of Gopinath upon him. And his heart would melt with love. But he considered himself in a very dangerous condition. Because what happened is, the whole of Remuna was celebrating this glorious pastime of Madhavendra Puri. And he was thinking that now I am becoming famous. This is very bad. I will become proud. So he secretly, without saying anything to anyone, he left the village. And he went to the next village. And when he got to the next village, his fame had already been there as well. The news of Gopinath's mercy upon Madhavendra Puri spread like wildfire amongst all devotees. And everywhere he went, within a short time they understood, "Oh, this is Madhavendra Puri." And then he would have to very secretly, quietly leave that place. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one time on his Vyas Puja, everyone was around
chanting his names, offering him garlands, offering him obeisances, offering him beautiful, beautiful prayers of love, of devotion, glorifying him like anything. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that in his speech, he said, "I feel like I am a dog sitting on a throne." He said, "But for your sake, I have to accept this. It is all meant for God, but who am I to accept it on behalf of God? Nothing is mine. Whatever glorification is not mine. But who am I to even accept it on behalf of God? Who am I to deliver this glorification to God? I am only a dog, but for your benefit, I must." So great devotees, there is nothing they dislike more than being glorified. But they are willing to go through the sacrifice, understanding that actually the glory belongs to my Guru and Krishna. The glory is not mine, but I have to go through the severe austerity of accepting it on their behalf and passing it up. This is the selfless position of great souls. So Madhavendra Puri, in his particular mood, as soon as anyone recognized who he was, he would disappear. And he came finally to Jagannath Puri. And when he came before the beautiful forms of Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath Swami, he began to dance in ecstasy with great joy. But he was always remembering his mission to Gopal. He was always immersed in meditation on fulfilling the desire of Gopal. Within a short time, even all the pujaris and priests and Vaishnavas and Puri understood that here is Madhavendra Puri. Here is the one that Chirachora Gopinath became famous for stealing the sweet rice for. So at this time, Madhavendra Puri understood that he could utilize his fame in Krishna service. Everywhere else he was running away because he did not want to enjoy the fame for himself. But now he was thinking, you are all so much wanting to help me? I need some sandalwood and camphor for Gopal. I have no money. He didn't say like that, but it was understood. He was a beggar. He was a mendicant. He had nothing and very expensive. So he told the pujaris about the dream he had of Gopal. So immediately, out of love for him, because of his exalted position, they made all arrangements. They purchased and arranged for all the sandalwood and all the camphor. And they even told him, "We will send some people to help you carry it. It's very heavy. Large quantity." And then he began his journey back to Vrindavan. Now, of course, in those days, especially, such a commodity as sandalwood and camphor was very, very valuable. And he had to walk through over 1,000 miles, mostly of jungle and forest, where there were many dacoits and robbers. Not only that, but for each district, one would have to go through a checkpost. You know how sometimes they put down that... Then they make you pay so many rupees. Depending on what kind of car you have to pay so many rupees. And they pull it up. So they had checkposts like that also. And how much they would tax for something like this? And God knows what type of people were at the checkpost. So it was a very dangerous situation. But he did not even consider danger or not danger. Gopal wants this sandalwood. So he began walking through the jungles with loads and loads of sandalwood and camphor. And on the way, he came back to Remuna. And he was thinking, Gopinath has caused this mercy upon me. Let me go and have the darshan of Sri Gopinath. So when he went into the temple,
All the pujaris at the Gopinath temple remembering him were very happy. And they spent the entire evening in great joy discussing topics of Krishna and dancing before the beautiful personality of Godhead, Sri Gopinath. And that night, Gopal again appeared in a dream to Srila Madhavendrapuri.
And Gopal explained that how much trouble you are taking just for me.
Such a wonderful, loving devotee you are. But it is very dangerous and full of hardship carrying this sandalwood all the way back to Vrindavan.
That I am non-different than Gopinath. We are one and the same person in two bodies. Therefore, you stay in Remuna, and you stay there through the entire Chaturmas, and you cover his body with the sandalwood and with the camphor each and every day.
And myself in Vrindavan, I will feel the cooling effects.
So they arrange, of course, for Brahmins to spend practically all day just grinding the sandalwood and making it into beautiful pulp with camphor, and they would cover the body of Gopinath each and every day.
So in this way, the wonderful pastime of Srila Madhavendra Puri was being narrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
He began to explain that Madhavendra Puri would generally always travel alone.
Why?
Because he had great fear that if he had any other companion, he would speak something mundane. And he understood that mundane sound vibration is so contaminating that he did not even want to risk it.
In this way, he was constantly chanting the holy names.
Of course, we cannot imitate such great souls. For one who is a Paramhamsa on the level of Srila Madhavendra Puri, he can be like this. But for someone who is a striving devotee, we must accept on the order of Guru how to become advanced. And the most important consideration in advancement in Krishna consciousness is the association of sincere devotees. But following in the footsteps of Madhavendra Puri, we must understand that in our association of devotees, we should never gossip. We should never talk nonsense. Whatever we speak amongst each other should be positive and constructive to enthuse, to inspire one another in sacrificing more and more and more for Krishna. Whatever we speak, we should speak about the glories of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, the names of the Lord. We should speak about our service to the Lord and how to better and better and better our service. Idle gossip, Raghunath Das Goswami said, is the prostitute which steals all one's inclinations for devotional service away from your heart. Rupa Goswami says there are six vegams. There are six pushings that must be tolerated. And one is the urge to speak. It is the natural tendency of the tongue to speak all nonsense. To gossip. Did you hear what happened to this person yesterday? Well, you think that's bad. You know what happened to this person yesterday? Well, you think that's bad. And usually, not only do you give a report, but you give a very enthusiastic report, embellishing it with all sorts of creative adjectives. You know the story of Sarvel Singh? You ever heard the story of Sarvel Singh? Someday I'll tell you the story of Sarvel Singh. Should I tell it? Do we have time or not? One time, there was a washerman. Who knows the story? Trying to remember the story. I'll tell it some other time. But the moral to the story is that propaganda can completely turn people's consciousness to believe something that isn't even real. And how does it all originate? Through gossip. Through the uncontrolled tongue. So Madhavendra Puri was so strict in this principle. So strict. Yet he would not even have a companion out of fear that he would speak even one word of gossip or nonsense or that was not related to Krishna consciousness. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining how Madhavendra Puri, he was always fixed in the highest feelings of loving separation for the Lord. When he was about to leave this world, he was crying out a very, very famous verse. A verse that was originally spoken by Srimati Radharani after Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura. I would like to speak exactly the description of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this regard. This way, Sri Gopinathji was supplied ground sandalwood pulp daily. The servants of Gopinath were very pleased with this. In this way, the sandalwood pulp was smeared over the body of Gopinath until the whole stock was finished. Madhavendra Puri stayed there until that time. This was during the summer. And then Chaturmas, Madhavendra Puri returned to Jagannath Puri, where he stayed the 4 months there. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally praised the nectaring characteristics of Madhavendra Puri. And while he related all this to the devotees, he personally relished it. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Nityananda Prabhu to judge whether there was anyone within the world as fortunate as Madhavendra Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Madhavendra Puri was so fortunate that Krishna personally appeared before him on the plea of delivering milk. 3 times the Lord gave orders to Madhavendra Puri in dreams. This is something very, very significant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining how fortunate Madhavendra Puri is because each time the Lord appeared to him, he gave him orders to engage in particular very difficult types of devotional service. Sometimes we think we're fortunate when Krishna gives me a good son or a good daughter, or Krishna gives me a nice house, or Krishna gives me a raise of salary, or Krishna gives me some nice position. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining Madhavendra Puri was the most fortunate because Krishna was constantly giving him very difficult types of devotional service. The greatest fortune we have is when Guru says, do something for Krishna. According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is the supreme fortune. That 3 times the Lord gave Madhavendra Puri personally very, very difficult service. This was his great fortune. Being obliged because of the loving affairs of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Krishna himself appeared as the Gopal deity, and accepting his service, he liberated the whole world. On account of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Gopinath stole a pot of sweet rice. Thus he became famous as Kheer Chora Gopinath. Madhavendra Puri smeared the sandalwood pulp over the body of Gopinath. In this way, he was overpowered with love of Godhead. In the provinces of India governed by the Mohammedans, there was much inconvenience in traveling with sandalwood and camphor. Because of this, Madhavendra Puri might have gotten into trouble. This became known to the Gopal deity. The Lord is very merciful and attached to his devotees. So when Gopinath was covered with sandalwood pulp, Madhavendra Puri's labor became successful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed the standard of Madhavendra Puri's intense love before Nityananda Prabhu for judgment. All his loving activities are uncommon, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Indeed, one is struck with wonder to hear his activities. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Sri Madhavendra Puri used to remain alone. He was completely renounced and always very silent. He was uninterested in everything material, and for the fear of talking about mundane things, he always lived without a companion. After receiving the transcendental orders of Gopal, this great personality traveled thousands of miles just to collect sandalwood by begging. Although Madhavendra Puri was hungry, he would not beg food to eat. This renounced person carried a load of sandalwood for the sake of Sri Gopal. Without considering his personal comforts, Madhavendra Puri carried one mound, about 82 pounds of sandalwood, and 20 tolas, about 8 ounces of camphor, to smear over the body of Gopal. This transcendental pleasure was sufficient for him. Since there were restrictions against taking the sandalwood out of the Orissa province, the toll official confiscated the stock, but Madhavendra Puri showed him the release papers given by the government and consequently escaped difficulties. Madhavendra Puri was not at all anxious during the long journey to Vrindavan through the provinces governed by the Mohammedans and filled with unlimited numbers of watchmen. Although Madhavendra Puri did not have a farthing with him, he was not afraid to pass by the toll officers. His only enjoyment was in carrying the load of sandalwood to Vrindavan for Gopal. A devotee learns to find his only enjoyment in his service to Krishna. Seek and ye shall find, it is explained in the Bible. If you seek pleasure only in your service, you will find the ultimate pleasure in your service. If you are not finding pleasure in your service, then you will be looking for pleasure elsewhere in your own sense enjoyment. This is the natural result of intense love of God. The devotee does not consider personal conveniences or inconveniences or even any impediments. In all circumstances, he wants to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. It is natural for those who have developed intense love of Krishna not to care for personal inconvenience and impediments. Such devotees are simply determined to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative, the spiritual master. In all circumstances, even amidst the greatest dangers, they undeviatingly carry on with great determination. This definitely proves the intense love of the servitor. Sri Gopal wanted to show how intensely Madhavendra Puri loved Krishna. Therefore, he asked him to go to Nilachala to fetch sandalwood and camphor. With great trouble and after much labor, Madhavendra Puri brought the load of sandalwood to Remuna. However, he was still very pleasant. Pleased, he discounted all the difficulties. Sometimes we complain how difficult our service is. Huh? Guru has asked me to do this. So difficult. Don't you feel sorry for me? Do you know what I'm going through? Just try to imagine what I'm going through. I have to do like this. This is not my propensity. This is not my nature. This is not my inclination. This is not even what I want. I hate to do it. I hate to do it. I hate to do it. But I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Don't you recognize what sacrifice, what austerity, what difficulty, what hardship, just for my guru? Huh? Madhavendra Puri did not even consider the difficulties. He went through so much trouble, so much labor. However, he was very pleased. What was he pleased with? That I have some service. Krishna's giving me some service. He was pleased with the service. And he discounted all the difficulties. This is the transcendental difference between material world and spiritual world. In the material world, everyone wants to be the center. But in the spiritual world, everyone wants to put Krishna in the center. So a birthday is a wonderful opportunity to call everyone together to put Krishna in the center. Huh? This is something very wonderful. So we thank Nathji and Maitali Priya and Nathji for making this nice evening possible. Hare Krishna.